Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti, going solo this week. Our guests are going to be Shaquille and Shakeem Griffin, twin brothers who play for the Seattle Seahawks, and Deanna Thorpe, Cairn University's women's lacrosse coach. She will join us as we continue to celebrate Cairn Month on Faith on the Field. Both of those interviews, those segments, are pre-recorded as we usually do. We record those ahead of time, but we do need to shift gears and talk about what's happening in our country in response to George Floyd being killed on Memorial Day. These are issues in our country. These are issues in the world that are real, and too many people have stayed silent for far too long. Racism is evil. It's disgusting. It's something that I have always hated. And I'm going to start here. My parents were born in Palestine. Remy and her family were born in Egypt. I have despise discrimination, bigotry, prejudice since the first time I was a kid and I was called a sand N-I-G-G-E-R and I was called a terrorist. So when you're a kid and you hear that, it stinks. And that sticks with you. When you're subjected to that kind of nastiness from ignorant people, it affects you. When you're a kid, it affects you even more. And I knew I was different. I knew I didn't fit in with everyone else. And that eventually shaped who I became. It led me to start using Rob, R-O-B, instead of my birth name, which is Arabic. Rabia, R-A-B-E. It means spring, this season, not spring the action. I'm not even going to start on what my family has dealt with. My cousins, my relatives, their neighbors. And they continue to deal with. The level of oppression is horrific. But I'm not even going to go there. Me personally, I've only had to deal with and endure mean words. Sticks and stones, right? I don't know what it's like to live in fear of violence because of your skin color. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to be afraid, to be scared because of my skin color. I've always sympathized with anyone who's discriminated against because of race, color, creed, or any reason. And I hate that anyone has to deal with that. I hate that anyone has to go through any of that. I believe that all of us are created equal in God's eyes. I don't believe in glorifying one person over another. The only person who I believe in glorifying is the Lord. And you hear me talk about this week in and week out, that it doesn't matter what we do for a living, what we accomplish, how much money we make, how successful we are, the fame, the fortune, the celebrity status, none of that matters to God. We are all equal. We are all brothers and sisters. He is our Father. So I live by Christ's command to love one another, and I try my best to be more like him and less like me. And I will tell you, I fail at that daily. I fail at that daily. It sickens me every time I see racism. Every time, no matter what kind of racism it is, it bothers me, it sickens me, I hate it, I despise it. And this has been happening forever. But the problem is too many people who are not affected, too many people who are not discriminated against, who don't understand what it's like to be judged by the color of their skin or their nationality or their religion, they choose to ignore it, they minimize it. They change the subject. They try to spin the narrative. We saw that when Colin Kaepernick peacefully took a knee during the national anthem 4 years ago. It was never about the flag or the military. But those who opposed Colin's method of fighting against racial injustice and inequality, they tried to change the narrative and look the other way. I know of many Christians, many Christians. I've had these conversations with so many. They declare their love for the Lord, yet when it comes to these matters, their eyes are closed, their ears are closed. And they tried to change the subject. They tried to change the narrative when it came to Colin Kaepernick because it did not affect them. Too many people have been too comfortable ignoring the truth for far too long. And they were content to keep their eyes and their ears closed and look the other way. But now we see all of the protests and unfortunately that's turned into rioting. And there has been more damage and there has been destruction. And yet people will still continue to try and change the narrative and focus on buildings instead of lives. People have reached the boiling point. And we see black people, brown people, white people coming together, finally coming together, fighting against racial injustice and inequality. We cannot, as a people, we cannot ignore it anymore. And we should. We should open our eyes, open our hearts, and listen, and listen, and try, and understand, and not look the other way, and take a stand against it. Take action to rid the world of this evil, because we are one. We are brothers and sisters, children of God. Racism, discrimination, bigotry is not okay. It is not acceptable. It is 20 freaking 20. And look where we are. And guess who's loving every second of it? This racial tension, all this discord, all of these issues, all of it. And guess who's loving every second of it? Who's laughing at us? The enemy. This is what he wants to do. He wants to divide people, and we cannot allow that. And for those of us who call ourselves Christians, it is not enough to simply declare how wrong it is. We sit there now, and we're calling it out, right? But that's not enough. I'm encouraged that more and more people are speaking out against it. That's encouraging. Everyone is coming out with a statement, it seems like. And while some people want to look at that and mock it, it's certainly encouraging that more and more people are issuing statements. They're taking a stand. They're saying the right things. It's great. It's necessary. But my hope is that this isn't being done because it's the thing to do right now. See, 10 days from now, 10 weeks from now, 10 months from now, we need to be as adamant and as vocal against racism as we are now. And we need to be educating others. We need to be trying to understand and put ourselves in the position to walk in someone else's shoes. And we need to be active to eliminate it from our thinking. That's what we have to do, is eliminate this from our thinking. Again, our words are not enough. We gotta walk our talk. I know many people may feel hopeless because eradicating racism, discrimination, bigotry, that requires changing people's hearts. Because that's where it comes from. Hate comes from within. And that seems like trying to change people's hearts, that seems like an impossible task. But see, Jesus is the king of the impossible, and he can change hearts. So we need to be praying for it. We need to be doing that consistently, persistently, and we need to be working together toward it. And we can do our part. Yes, we can. We can do our part. We should not feel hopeless. We shouldn't feel helpless. We shouldn't feel like this is impossible. We can do our part. It starts with each of us spreading love right where we are. Spreading love at home, at work, at school, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our marketplace. See, we could spread love by treating everyone with respect, treating everyone with kindness and compassion every single day. We could spread love by loving those who don't love us back. How hard is that? And loving our enemies. That's the difficult part. When you love the people who are against you, who don't love you back. See, we spread love by loving everyone, regardless of any and all of our differences. We have to. We must always stand up for the oppressed. We have to be a voice for the voiceless. But we need to do more. We got to do more than just talk about it. More than making a perfectly constructed social media post about it. That's not good enough. We got to take action. And we got to live it out. And let our daily actions bring that change that we want to see in the world. Racism is nasty. It's disgusting. It's evil. And it is time we all do our part. We got to do our part. The thought, the idea that anyone is better than anyone else, that anyone is superior to anyone else, we got to get rid of that thinking because there should be no place for it. And for us, the Christians, those of us who call ourselves believers, disciples of the Lord, many of us are guilty of it. Many of us are guilty of staying silent, looking the other way, not being proactive enough because it does not impact us the same way it may impact our brothers and sisters. So I want to point out some of the verses in the Bible that talks about equality. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. All of us. Created in God's image. All of us. None of us are better than anyone else. We're all equal. Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality. He doesn't favor anyone over anyone else. Proverbs 22:2. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. You could substitute for rich and poor, black or white. You can substitute brown. You can substitute famous or unknown. You could substitute whatever words you want in there. It says rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. He's the maker of all of us. Let's go to the New Testament, Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. The kingdom of God is diverse. The kingdom of God is filled with black, brown, white, every color, everything out there. James 2:1-4. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet." Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? How often do we do this? I'm not even talking about race here. Just discrimination for one reason or another. How often do we do this? We need to check our hearts. We need to hold ourselves accountable. See, when I talk about this, it's personal for me. And I told you my experiences growing up. So now take myself out of the equation. And then to look at it from the perspective of when I hear African Americans talk about the black community, the brown community talk about living in fear or just living in under constant scrutiny. And then to see other people want to ignore it, diminish it, minimize it, and choose to say, yeah, but. I hate that. I hate the yeah, buts. Because there's something as a result of, we cannot take our eyes off the problem. We cannot take our eyes off the issue and go, but this is happening. But why this? Why do they? It should never be they. It shouldn't be about they. It's got to be we. See, that's where unity starts. This is what pains me. It pains me because I know I have Christian brothers and sisters who have chosen, because it doesn't impact them, to take the yeah, but approach. Yeah, but why are they doing this? But yeah, why but this? It's not about they. They are us. See, we need to change they to us and recognize and realize that we are one. We are united. So when we change they and them to we and us, we're coming at it from a personal perspective. And if you can't understand what someone's going through, listen. Listen. Open your hearts. Open your eyes. I say this all the time. We got to love like Jesus. We got to live like Jesus. We got to forgive like Jesus. Isn't that what we are? We are Christians. We call ourselves Christians. Isn't that what we're all about? And for those who may be listening to the show who aren't believers, who aren't Christians, listening, understanding, and opening our hearts is a universal thing. It takes unity. It takes togetherness. It takes all of us standing up. Standing up together. We see the protests. We see some of the rioting and the destruction and what's evolved. I don't want to hear yeah, but. We cannot look at it yeah, but. We have to ask why. Why? And what can I do to help? How can I help? How can I make a difference? How can I be a blessing? How can I create change? How can I do it? How can I do it? And that can eventually lead to change. And by bringing more people to Christ, he's the one who changes hearts. So we have an important role in this, being leaders, showing people, guiding them, directing them to the Lord, because he alone is the one who can change the hearts. We can only steer people that way. So as we face the harsh reality of everything that we're seeing on the news and living through, and as we pray, we got to pray for change, pray for unity. But aside from our cute little social media posts, we got to do more. We must do more. We have to do more. Up next on Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University, we're going to hear from the Griffin twins, Shaquille and Shaquem.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show, listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you sign up for our weekly email list, we will send it to you right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle's at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. Remy's Mother's Day virtual sermon at Abundant Life Ministries Philadelphia is available on her Facebook pages and mine, and on Faith on the Field as well. I will be speaking at Abundant Life Ministries, which is Pastor Robert Pinckney, our good friend, former Phillies Chaplains Church, on Father's Day. So I will be there on Father's Day. I'll give you more information as we get closer. My virtual sermon titled The New and Improved Normal that I shared at Franklinville United Methodist Church in Newfield, UMC last month. That's available on my YouTube channel. I delivered a commencement speech last month also at Valley Forge Baptist Academy. The theme was passion, purpose, perspective, positivity, perseverance, and peace. That is also up on my YouTube channel, and several clips are on my social media. Keep on sending us messages on all of our social media. We really appreciate hearing from you. We love your encouragement and your words. It's so great to hear when you tell us that we are making an impact for you. So thank you so much for that. We really do appreciate each and every one of you who reaches out to us. Thank you so much. And if you feel so inclined, share our episodes and let your friends and family and anyone out there in the social media world know about our show. We really would appreciate that too as well. Our first guests this week are twin brothers, Shaquille and Shaquem Griffin. Both play for the Seattle Seahawks, which is incredibly cool that they're not only twin brothers, not only in the NFL, but they're on the same team, the Seattle Seahawks. Shaquille was a third-round pick in 2017. Last year, he made the Pro Bowl at cornerback, and Shaquem is an incredible story. He was born with amniotic band syndrome, which affects his left hand. It caused the fingers on his left hand not to fully develop. When he was 4 years old, his mother found him in the kitchen trying to use a butcher's knife to amputate his own hand because of the pain. So the next day, his parents decided to schedule an amputation. But despite not having a hand, a left hand, he kept playing sports and went on to the University of Central Florida, played there with his brother, and was drafted the following year in 2018 in the fifth round by Seattle. He's a linebacker. He plays a lot on special teams. They are inseparable twin brothers. I caught up with the Griffin twins on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Here is part of that conversation. Joining me now on Radio Row from the Seattle Seahawks, the twins, the brothers, Shaquem and Shaquille Griffin. And guys, before we get into what you're doing here, because it's really cool, I was just watching the commercial. I know you don't want to, do it. You want to let him go. He is the Pro Bowl cornerback, right? Yeah. Shaquille, what was that experience like for you going to the Pro Bowl?
Well, that experience is it was amazing. Just to be back home and be able to share this experience with my brother, my family, my friends, I feel like that was the best part. And I really enjoyed it. Through that whole week, it was so hard to put it in words how I really felt. One thing I was trying to do, I was just trying to take it all in one day at a time, and it was amazing.
How much does it sting? You could both take this question. To know that the San Francisco 49ers are here, and you guys, the Seahawks, came that close to beating them final week of the season. You already had beat them one time. You were that close to beating them, dropping them. They would have been a 5 seed. You might not want to say, but I'll tell you this. If they were the 5 seed, they won't be here right now. You very well could be the ones being here. So how much does that sting for you guys?
I mean, it hurts a lot because, obviously, you go through so much to get to the point where you want to be in a situation when you're in the Super Bowl. And to see that it came to 1 inch on the 1 yard line right before the touchdown, and you think that you have it, like, for us, we were celebrating. We got it. We got the W, and just to see that we didn't get it, you know, it hurts the most because, you know, that win-to-loss ratio, it would have changed everything. And obviously, we ended up getting the wild cards. We had to take the longer route. And obviously, we didn't finish how we wanted to, but see, we all know it was – the pass was changed.
So for
we
every
could have been playing in the Super Bowl.
For everybody listening right now, they have no clue what's going on. So I got to explain this to everyone listening to this, unless you're watching on the video. You guys are, you're having some fun here. Is this part of being, I got two little twins. I just showed you their picture, twin girls who were 6 years old. Is this how, you guys look like you're having fun. You're going back and forth with the microphone. You're rolling around each other's faces, your noses. What is it like, man, being around each other? And then the fact that you're playing in the NFL and you're on the same team.
Man, it's a blessing. You know, I feel like we're living the dream right now. You know, it's been a Cinderella story from the time we started this. And I feel like the best thing we can do is enjoy, every moment of it. You know, you don't know how long it will last. So since you don't, you enjoy every part of it. I feel like the best part, no matter what we do, we find the love in it. You know, if we sit here and do interviews and we talk about different things, I'm going to be totally natural. I'm going to be myself. I know he is. And we're going to have fun with it. I feel like everybody deserves a couple laughs every now and then. So that's the main thing. We look for that, and we enjoy that part of it.
I told you a few minutes ago, last time I saw both of you guys was in the visiting locker room in Philly after the Seahawks beat the Eagles. I cover the Eagles on a daily basis, so I knew how difficult that loss was for the Philadelphia fan base. And there were some questions as far as the hit. You know it's coming, right? Jadeveon Clowney's hit on Carson Wentz. When you guys look back on that, did you think he didn't get fined? He didn't get penalized. He didn't get anything. Carson got knocked out of the game, and you guys went on to win the football game. You never want to see that happen, but what did you think of that play? Go ahead. Shaquille's asking for the microphone, so he wants to take it. He wants to let you off.
Yeah, it's different when you've been out there and being able to see what happened.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people think when things like that happen, it's intentional. You got a guy who's 270, 280 pounds, who's running extremely fast, and he finally gets to the quarterback, and he falls on top of him awkwardly. You know, I don't think his intent was, let me find a way to knock Wentz out the game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people look past that. You know, you got a guy who's giving everything because we have one common goal in mind, that's to get to the Super Bowl, and an awkward play happened where he landed awkwardly on Wentz. And that's like, it's never intentional. And you will see us, when it happened, I'll be the first one. I'm taking a knee. I'm praying my butt off for him and his family. I don't have to know you. I don't know. You don't have to be a friend of mine. I never want to see someone get injured or hurt. And then if anybody does, you'll see me. I'm the first one. I'm around. I'm on a knee, and I'm praying my butt off to make sure it's nothing serious, and I'm praying for the safety of him and his family. So, and it's tough. And I'm just talking to Clowney after. That's never was his intent. He told me about a situation the year before where that happened.
With Nick Foles.
Yeah, and he never tries to do that. He's a big guy who's running extremely fast. Who. And play as hard as he can for his organization. So
he's not well liked in Philly. I mean, what's you guys go on the road and you see different fan bases. What is the toughest fan base to go into that stadium and try and take on? Is it Philadelphia?
Philadelphia was tough. What's another one that was like Green Bay?
Green Bay? Are they nasty? Are the fans in there just?
I think Philly is the nastiest. Green Bay was pretty loud.
Okay.
So
and cold, depending on what time of year you go there.
Very cold. Yeah. Very cold.
Tell me real quick, guys, about Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. What you're doing with them, the campaign that says same refreshing taste that fans crave, proving that some things can be as good as the original, maybe even better. It's a perfect ad campaign for Twins.
Shout out to Mountain Dew Zero Sugar, and thank you to Mountain Dew for bringing us along. But right now, we got the Shining going on. You know, our commercial just came out, and just to display that, just to talk about just the Twins part of it, and it's kind of cool that they brought us along because, the Twins from the Shining, we got the big wheels. I mean, not only did we got the big wheels, we got the decked out big wheels. I'm talking about it looked like Pimp My Ride. You know, it was like, who got that? It was like literally new ride, fresh off the off season. We fresh here. You know, we got the big wheels. We both rolling. We came in on a big wheel. I don't think anybody else did that. So they just let us know that we come in style. And just to be a part of this is the biggest blessing. I mean, obviously we've been big fans of Mountain Dew for a very long time growing up. And just to be a part of this, we never would have thought that we'll have the opportunity to work with Mountain Dew. But definitely grateful for it. And if you want to throw anything else in.
to summarize all that, only thing he was trying to say is drink more Mountain Dew, zero sugar.
I hear you talking about praying. I hear you talking about blessings. What's your faith mean to you, man?
It means the world. You know, I feel like without my faith, I don't know where I'd be at. You know, I want to believe and see something that was bigger than myself. And I feel like the way my family is, the way we was raised, we know a lot of things is based off our faith. And I feel like faith is the reason why me and my brother are still here together. Being able to enjoy this moment together is because of the faith that we had in each other.
Shaquem, you want to answer that?
I mean, faith is really huge to me. I mean, you know, especially with me and you know, going through my path and going through a different time than a lot of people, you know, I had to keep faith because especially going through college, you know, being from a guy who wasn't playing football to just started playing football out of nowhere and being able to play with my brother again. I mean, you got to have faith through that entire process. And my mom and my family, just everybody was so big on it and they support us so much. Like even when the time was hard, I used to call my mother all the time, and she used to call all her sisters on the phone. And we're just sitting there, and they just pray over me on times of need.
I love that.
And, you know, I feel like for me, that was a turning point in my life. There's one to be stronger than faith, because even when times get hard, as long as I got my faith, I know I can get through it.
That was Shaquille and Shaquem Griffin, twin brothers who play for the Seattle Seahawks. Up next, we'll hear from another twin, Cairn University women's lacrosse coach Deanna Thorpe, who has a twin sister. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Restelli Foods Group, Narstown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closet. We continue Cairn Month on Faith on a Field Show with another special guest from the university. Deanna Thorpe is the new women's lacrosse coach. Deanna, welcome to the show. Great to have you on. And you have a lot of exciting new things going on over there at Cairn with the women's lacrosse program. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, sure. I was brought in to basically start the Division III Women's Lacrosse Program for Cairn University. Now, I've never done that myself, so it will be a work in progress for all of us. But fortunately, the men's program is a year ahead of me, so I can learn and glean from that coach and hopefully get the program up and running pretty smoothly and successfully.
Tell us about your journey to get to this point, to get to Cairn, where you've been in the past, and how you have relied on your faith throughout everything that you've been able to do and accomplish.
Yeah, how far back do you want me to go?
Oh, goodness. Hey, as far back as you want to go.
Okay, well, growing up, I was a big tomboy, and I have a twin sister, and fortunately, she was a tomboy right along next to me. So she and I had never played lacrosse until we were freshmen in high school. And we just took to it like fish in water. We loved it so much that we would practice at the local park down the street from our house every day after our lacrosse practice in high school. And not to brown nose or anything, but our coaches happened to drive right by that park every day, and they would see us out there practicing. So I think that helped both of us to make varsity lacrosse our freshman year. And I just was bit by the lacrosse bug and just loved it so much. Now, I wasn't recruited in high school, but I ended up going to the University of Maryland, played club lacrosse there my freshman year, and then didn't really like the disorganization of it. So stopped playing that, but then I happened to be walking by the practice field every day, and I would say to myself, goodness, you should be out there. You love the sport so much. You need to go out for the team. So I called the coach, and she said, come on out. So I walked on to the University of Maryland lacrosse team as a senior in college.
Wow.
Now, none of the girls knew that I was a senior. They all kind of assumed I was a freshman, because why in my right mind would I walk on to the the national championship team as a senior. But I did it, and again, just renewed my love of the sport and teamwork and camaraderie, and just being a part of something bigger than myself was just amazing. So we happened to win the national championship that year. Didn't get a whole lot of playing time, but I did play a little bit, and then ended up staying my super senior year, my fifth year, to play again. We happened to win the national championship that year as well, along with the ACC championship, which was the first year that they invited the women's teams to play. So that was back in 1997.
Wow.
So I think from there was just a jumping off point for what was to come with coaching. Obviously, getting married, having four kids of my own, two girls, two boys, and started with coaching my girls in third grade and kindergarten, and then coaching middle school lacrosse and now varsity high school lacrosse, and then got a call from a friend who worked at Karen who knew that I coached and loved the sport and said, why don't you come on over and give this a try? So here I am, and it's only by God's grace, because if you had asked me way back then and as a freshman in high school, you know, do you think you'll coach college lacrosse one day? I would say probably not. But here I am, and I love the journey, and looking back, I can see God's hand in it all. And, you know, again, faith is such a big part of who I am. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of my spiritual gifts, my top spiritual gift, and just trusting in God's promises, and here I am.
What is it about Karen that makes it such an attractive offer and an opportunity for you, the fact that it is a Christian university where you can freely speak about your faith with the students and not have any kind of limitations or anything like that? How attractive is that, and what do you like most about the university?
That's a great question. I have been blessed to have been a part of, except for when I coached my daughters in rec, I've actually coached at Christian schools. So the middle school and the high school were both through Annapolis Area Christian School, mm-hmm. where my kids go to school. And like you said, it has just been a breath of fresh air to be able to speak my faith, to be able to talk about Christ and what he's done in my life and what he can do in their lives. And so I think the attraction for Karen University is just kind of taking that next step. You know, it's a logical step up. I simply love the relationships that I've built with every, you know, level. Whether it was middle school girls, and we all know what goes on in middle school with girls and the drama that can appear. Well, it can happen in high school as well, and it could even happen in college. But I love the natural step up, the progression that I'm taking. And again, this was the one time I was recruited. I was recruited to work at Karen. So I feel honored and blessed to be the person that somebody thought of to kind of spearhead this program. So it's really just an honor, and I look forward to continuing the ability to speak about my faith and to pour into others what Christ has poured into me. So
it does take a certain kind of leap of faith, right? When you're going to go to a school that is starting up a new program, you really have to take a leap. There's challenges involved along the way, and you have to trust in yourself, trust in your ability, but also trust in the Lord that he's putting you in the right position. So when you get, as you said, you were recruited by Karen, do you feel kind of, this is exactly where God wants me to be at this point in my life, and I'm just embracing this wholeheartedly, and even though there may be some challenges along the way, he's got this?
Absolutely. It is a huge leap of faith having, you know, a husband who also will be working for Karen University, and four kids to pull them out of what they've known for a good part of their lives,
yeah.
and to trust in God that he has us right where he wants us. And I might not realize it in the moment. It might take a couple of years looking back to say, okay, this is why we were there. But I'm ready for that leap of faith, and I'm ready to see what God's going to do in my life and in these girls' lives, and just kind of see the bigger picture here. So yeah, definitely some challenges, I'm sure, that I might not know about yet, but again, it'll be a work in progress, especially with the coronavirus issues that are happening and canceling a lot of the possible recruiting events that I could attend this summer. It's going to look a little bit different, but I'm up for the challenge, and I'm ready to see how God uses me.
Actually, tell me about that, because that is very interesting. Coronavirus, the pandemic has turned everything upside down, and it's changed and impacted all of us in different ways. Are you able to recruit virtually? Are you able, you know, how are you, how have you been able to handle that, especially if this is your first year and all of that stuff? So that those are certain kind of unique challenges. But what can you do? What have you been able to do now?
Sure. Well, I haven't fully jumped into the official position just yet, but I have started to prime the well, so to speak. Mm-hmm. A former teammate of mine coaches at Colby College up in Maine, so I hopped on the phone with her and just said, hey, listen, let's talk about D3 number one, D3 women's lacrosse. Let's talk about, you know, how is your recruiting going to be changing? And so she gave me a lot of good tips on what to do, how to get started. So I think it's going to – I'm not the only one in this. Obviously, all of the coaches, college coaches, D1, 2, and 3, are going through the same issue. So that kind of makes a little bit of a level playing field, which, to be honest, is a little exciting for me because I think being in the virtual world at the moment, that's going to be the primary way to do it. Reviewing video of club games, shooting out emails, just kind of being a little bit creative and thinking outside the box than the normal just showing up at tournaments. So it does excite me. It does even the playing field a bit, and I just have to get going on that.
What kind of player are you looking for, Deanna? Who, if someone wanted to play lacrosse for you at Cairn, what qualities, characteristics, what kind of player do they have to be? What kind of person do they have to be?
That's a great question. I look for all types of people, to be honest. Number one, they have to love the sport because it's not an easy one. It's harder and harder to just pick up a stick and learn how to play it the first time. But I look for somebody who wants to play the sport. They have an intrinsic love of the sport, and they also want to be a part of a team. Again, something greater than themselves, because I'm big into, you know, I don't expect perfection from my team, my players, but I do expect 100% effort. And through giving 100% effort, it's going to affect the team in a positive way. So I look for, again, love of the sport, somebody who can control their attitude and their effort and give 100% at every practice and every game. And obviously, I want somebody who loves the Lord and who it reflects through their playing. Talk about the culture of lacrosse today and how it makes me sad a little bit when you talk about club teams and just the machine, the lacrosse machine that it's become. Mm-hmm. I feel like the focus has shifted a little bit. Everybody wants to be recruited. Everybody wants to get a scholarship, and those aren't the kids for me. I want somebody who loves the sport and who wants to win. I still want an athlete. I want somebody who wins. But I don't necessarily need somebody who is, like, cutthroat hardcore.
That's interesting. I can appreciate that philosophy for sure. I'm going to read you, Deanna, a Bible verse that I believe has some importance to you, because I saw it listed on your bio, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive the perishable wreath, but we are imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. What is the importance of that verse to you?
Well, to me, it's on a couple different levels. Obviously, being Christians, we are in a different kind of a race. We are in the race to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And to live a life that reflects that, to constantly point back to Christ and to strive for that. But as an athlete, you know, you see successful athletes out there who are so disciplined in their sport. You know, champions are made in an off season, right? We all know that. And so they understand this concept. So they experience and they just work really, really hard at self-control and discipline. And so their ultimate goal is that prize, that championship, that, you know, that win at the end. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because God loves the champion. So, you just have to keep a perspective that, yes, while we're here on earth, we can strive for those things, but on a different level, we are also believers in Christ, and our ultimate goal, our ultimate championship is heaven. So I love the parallel that we can draw from that.
That's awesome. Well, Deanna, we wish you a ton of blessings and good fortune and success as the new women's lacrosse coach at Karen University. Appreciate you being part of our Karen Month on Faith on the Field show, and look forward to seeing how you grow the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
That was Karen University women's lacrosse coach Deanna Thorpe. We kicked off Karen Month on Faith on the Field last week with University President Dr. Todd Williams. Looking forward to more terrific guests from Karen the rest of this month. So thank you to Karen. Thank you to Deanna Thorpe and Shaquille and Shaquem Griffin for being our guests this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton, our EVP of Business Operations, for all the great work that he does. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does with us and for us for our website and our podcast. And thank you to producer Ryan Lennox. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Boddy, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.